Thank you for listening to the KBOO Evening News. I'm Sam Bowman. On December 9th, the group Portland Equity in Action held an auction in Northeast Portland to raise money for the Stolen Angels PDX billboard project. I was joined in the studio last week by four members of Portland Equity in Action: Britton Washington, Olivia Stone, Victoria Ruffin, and Courtney Santoro, as well as Alicia Johnson, the mother of Terrell Johnson, who was shot by Portland police in May of last year. We talked about the billboard project and how they hope it can address problems of racial inequality and police brutality in the Portland area. The first voice you'll hear is the group's lead organizer, Britton Washington.
We kind of formed out of like a discussion group almost that was a now kind of disbanded meeting, twice a month meeting for people of color. And that was back in, I think maybe the end of May was the first time we kind of got organized, because out of that kind of community meet, those community meetups, we had work groups. And so we all met through, we were in the racial equity work group. And so at the end of May, I think, is when we kind of formed as, we can actually be doing work mm-hmm. without these community meetups. Yeah, I guess it was probably within a month we were Portland Equity in Action and had our own meetings and plans. And yeah, we did a sticker campaign up on Mississippi on July 8th, which is, we did it the morning of the Mississippi Street Fair, so once a year, and we plastered stickers all over that said, let's talk about Quanis Hayes and let's talk about Terrell Johnson.
Did you get any specific reaction to those stickers?
Well, nobody knew that like we had done it, but I still see pictures online, like randomly. People will, you know, there's still a few up on Mississippi, you can see them, so people will see them and maybe snap a picture of them and mm-hmm. post them and stuff, but it was never, we never broadcasted it. It was all very undercover.
And it was kind of like the first step towards doing something really tangible.
That's the voice of Olivia Stone, a member of Portland Equity in Action.
And the work groups that we had been a part of, I think the folks that ended up in Portland Equity in Action were those who in the work groups were feeling really kind of frustrated about not having anything actionable to work towards. We were coming together month after month. I heard about the work group through Britton and came to check it out, but there wasn't any planning or any next steps, and there was a group of us that were feeling frustrated with that. You know, we were talking about the rampant complacency with white supremacy in the city, and here we are just kind of talking about it and then walking away, going back home to our normal routines. So we wanted to kind of branch out from that group, put together a plan of action, and really start doing things and confronting people in the city. And the sticker campaign was kind of our way of proving to ourselves that we could actually organize and do something. And then from there, we kind of moved into the billboard campaign after Britton got in touch with some of the moms.
I suppose that's a good time to talk to you, Alicia. How did you become involved with this project?
My son, Terrell Johnson, was murdered by the police on May 10th, 2017. And Teresa was doing an art project. Do you remember what that was called?
It was the Stolen Angels exhibit, yeah, at the Williamson Night Gallery.
So I had gotten in contact with her, and she invited me to bring some art in and pictures of Terrell, and explained to me what the whole entire exhibit was. And so I went to that and was involved mm-hmm. with that. And then that's when I met Britton, and she told me that they were working on some stuff, and you know, if I wanted to get in touch, to get in touch. So I did. And that's when I first found out about the Stolen Angels project and the billboard project.
And If you want, can you talk a little bit about Terrell, just who he was?
Terrell, he was wonderful. He was amazing. He was very personable. Everybody that knew him loved him. He was, you know, really down to earth and really personable. He would talk to people like a lot wouldn't. We did a lot of community service and feeding the homeless, and he did that like his whole life. And he would sit and talk. Like when we'd be feeding the homeless, he'd feed for a while and then he'd just sit and talk with the people. And afterwards, they'd always come up to me and be like, "Oh, you just have such a great son. Like I've never been talked to in such a personable way." And all his friends felt the same way about him. He just was the best person to get in touch with whenever you needed somebody to actually listen and hear what you had to say and really, you know, just really connect with. He was just really easy to connect with. He was just so personable and great sense of humor, great smile, you know, always playing and dancing and singing and hanging out. So yeah, he was great that way.
So the billboard project coming up, where did the idea for that come from?
It was actually, I think so, July 8th was the street fair, and we did the sticker campaign, and that was kind of when we realized that our efforts, I think collectively, we were interested in doing visual campaigns. Mm-hmm. On an equitable level, which we consider to be a street level, to kind of put these issues in people's faces so you can't ignore them, you can't walk past it, you can't avoid them or escape them. And so that was a Saturday, and the following Tuesday was Don't Shoot Portland's been doing, first Tuesday of the month in 2017, they did bystander intervention trainings. And at that one, I was there with a couple members of Portland Equity and Shiloh Phelps, who is the mom of Bodie Phelps. She was there and gave a presentation about a billboard project that Michael Bell had enacted, I guess, out in Wisconsin. And basically said she's in touch with Irene Kalonji and Donna Hayes, and the three of them are interested in doing something like that here for their boys who had been killed, and they were asking for help. And it was just, I don't know, it was just really good timing, because yeah. It was exactly the kind of thing that we were planning to start getting after, I think. And even though this was a huge, much, very much out of our
scope at the time,
yeah.
But it helped organize the group through the efforts.
Right. So we just kind of got in touch with Shiloh, Donna, and Irene and said, hey, we were at least organized to do a little smaller scale version of that. If you guys want to kind of partner up and see what we can, how we can make something bigger happen.
Is the auction on the 9th, was that the first real step towards this, aside from the background organizing, I suppose?
Definitely the very first public event. The only actual fundraiser that we did. But after that, and you know, by the end of July, we had had decided that that's what we're doing, and we started planning and organizing for the billboard project. So it took us a little time because we realized we were going to need to be a much more organized mm-hmm. entity ourselves, mm-hmm. or Portland Equity in Action, yes. and we were going to have to get all of our ducks in a row and able to pull this off and to get the money that we need to do it. So we we organized ourselves, got our LLC registered, got the office space, figured out kind of like a structure of how we would be operating, and we wrote up a proposal for the project, and we presented it to Tressa Rayford and Don't Shoot Portland, secured them as our fiscal sponsors, our Portland Equity in Action's fiscal sponsor, because we are not a nonprofit yet. And then we applied for several grants, and that was in October. Mm-hmm. Got some grant money, and then we started organizing the fundraiser. And we had we had to come up with kind of like the plan for the campaign and what our strategy would be like.
And, mm-hmm. and we're a group of truly grassroots activists without mm-hmm. background in organizing or, advocacy outside of just being passionate about the issues that we care about. I mean, we're not part of another entity. We don't have nonprofit experience or mobilizing experience. So this was all new for all of us. And it was very clear from the beginning that Britain was really becoming kind of the leader in helping move this forward. And the way that she's done it and really helped the group incorporate the wishes of the moms and really help make sure that we're keeping in touch with them and bringing them along in this process, so this isn't just an organization that's driving forward with an idea that we had on our own, but really making sure that it's something that reflects their vision for what they want to see and the change that we want to bring about is pretty unique.
Yeah. I mean, we also realized really early on that Michael Bell's model is not going to work here in Portland. So
we don't have a $1 million settlement.
Yeah, we don't have that kind of money, and we also
don't have billboards.
Yeah, Portland, this part of the country is not a huge highway billboard kind of a town. It's not it's kind of wasted money, and it's very expensive. So we came up with his idea, we came up with a whole new strategy and model.
Adaptation.
That could actually work for us here. So.
All right. Mm-hmm. And I'll start with Alicia on this one. What sort of results are you hoping for from this?
I guess just more of letting people be aware, or making sure that people are aware of some of the laws that need to be changed, how the whole process works for people that are dealing with the situation. I learned so much after Terrell passed, just walking around with Teresa and talking to the mayor and just finding out what laws are. Like, one of the big laws right now that that blows my mind is that if you're beat up by a cop in Portland, you can file a complaint against them, and it will go out of the city and it will be independently reviewed. But if your child is shot dead by the cops, it's only done internally. It's not allowed to go out of the state. Or it does not go out of the state. The fact that they can come to your house and basically interrogate you after they've told you that your child is dead, and that they don't just make the announcement and have to leave, that they can sit in your house for as long as they want, you know. The mayor told me that I could have told them that I didn't want to be interviewed, but when they tell you that your child's been fatally shot by the cops, they show up at your house in full uniform with a gun, you don't feel like that's really the time to say, I'm not going to answer questions.
It's hard to even realize you're being interviewed.
Exactly. Yeah. And not only that, but you want to find out answers too. At that point, you don't figure that what you tell them is going to be used against your child. You know, you think that what you tell them is going to be used to prove the point that this wasn't right or that wasn't right, you know, but that's not how it works out. So just a lot of pointing out laws that need to be changed, showing it the things that are in common with each death and each, you know, incident. And just getting their names out there and getting awareness out there, because for, you know, I'd heard about people being shot by the cops, and I, you know, as somebody who hasn't dealt with it, you sit back and you go, well, then, you know, what did really happen? I mean, I was actually under the impression at the time, because my child, because Terrell was going through so much stuff, I was under the impression at the time that if possibly he got hooked up with the, like, if the cops arrested him, he'd have to get help. He'd have to get either mental health or drug help or whatever. And no, that's not the case. If you end up involved with the cops, you could get killed. It doesn't mean it's going to be a better thing. It's not going to be a better outcome. So that, to me, is, you know, mind-blowing. And at the same time, you know, there's a lot of people out there that believe that the cops are there to protect and serve, which is what they're supposed to be doing, but is not the case a lot of the time.
I remember, I believe it was Donna at the event.
That's Donna Hayes, the grandmother of Quanis Hayes, who was shot by Portland police in February of last year.
Spoke about their meeting with Mayor Wheeler.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how ineffectual, to use a long word for it, she found it. Yeah. And what was your personal reaction to that?
A lot like Donna said, they show up with all these black people. And again, where did they all come from? Like, where did you get these people, you know? And that, I know, is a lot to just kind of help make us feel comfortable, but it's not, you know, it doesn't change the situation. It doesn't change anything. He seemed to be sympathetic, but, you know.
Oh, and so when did that meeting happen?
It happened August. I believe in August. Yeah. And actually, Teresa Redford, she helped that happen, but they said that she couldn't be there. They wouldn't come if she was there. So
really?
I wasn't even allowed to have who I wanted there to be there, you know, which is the same thing they tried to do when we viewed his actual, the video of the event. You know, they wanted to try to control who was there, ask me why they wanted to be there. You know, it's just this whole thing. It's just like, why is that? They won't give me the video. Yeah. I can't show it to who I want to. Why can't I have who I want there?
The surveillance video.
From the Max.
From Terrell's death. Alicia and her family, you and your husband, Josh, viewed it shortly after Terrell was killed.
Right.
But then just last week,
on the 23rd, my youngest son came back into town, and he wanted to see it because he serves as a Marine right now. So,
I went with them to view that footage this last week, and we had to go into the East Precinct to view it. You guys had requested a copy of it of a very long time ago. For your family, for your own purposes, and they were told by the police that they usually don't do that because they don't they're not really interested in having this kind of thing end up on YouTube.
Even better, they said, you know, we don't give those videos out just to anybody. And it's like, I'm not just anybody. I'm his mother, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but then also I was made aware that they didn't want it to end up on YouTube. Like, I was just getting it to put it on social media or something, you know, which is ridiculous.
But they assured you that your you're welcome to come view it in the police station anytime you'd like. Come into the lion's den, please, and hang out here anytime you want. You have a need to see that footage for any reason. And yeah, they were very concerned with who you were going to bring with you this last time, and kind of almost tried to bully you a few times into giving them full names and relationships to you of every single person, and told you that they wouldn't be comfortable with you bringing in anyone who wasn't your immediate family.
Right.
So it was just, it just kind of made things so much worse, because it's like, what are you, I mean, clearly, like, you're not, you know, there was a grand jury hearing, and there was no indictment of the officer that killed Terrell. So technically, you know, it's over with. You guys aren't, they're not using the footage for any reason. They have no use for it, except that if it does wind up on YouTube, what we saw on that video, everyone else would see, which is not what
they would want.
They want us, want people interpreting it as. So
I've noticed they also have not released the investigative book, which they usually have done in officer-involved shootings, going back several years.
That's,
I think they have from 2010 on, starting with Aaron Campbell. They released the grand jury and the investigative book on it, and I've noticed they've only released the grand jury transcript.
They gave me an investigative, like, a DVD of all their investigation. But even in that, you know, part of the investigation was the video of his actual incident, and that was not included.
But you, and was there any, beyond the grand jury transcripts, was there other?
I got the transcripts, and then I got like a DVD of what the investigation was, but it hasn't been released anywhere else.
Well, thank you for talking about that. Regarding the project, again, I saw on the project's website, one of the main goals is to sort of draw attention to sort of racial disparities as well in criminal justice enforcement in Oregon, and could you talk about that aspect of the project a little bit? That seems to kind of go back to the original discussion group.
Yeah, it goes kind of to your awareness.
That's the voice of Portland Equity in Action member Victoria Ruffin.
Because here in Portland, it's not talked about, it's not addressed. People of color coming together to talk about it is something that happens, but then it stays kind of in this current undercurrent, kind of within folks who already know, preaching to the choir, essentially. But to have come together and to be able to bring it to this sort of platform will be amazing, because people need to talk about this. People need to understand, especially here. This is such a... the history of this town, and
well, Portland, you know, is what, 20% whiter than any other like major city in the country, and Oregon locks up people of color and Black people at higher rates than any other state, and we have the least people of color here, and the most people of color being finding themselves in within the criminal justice system, and of those people. I mean, we also have such, like, we're surrounded by, you know, white supremacist groups and this very strong belief and urge around Portland, outside of Portland, you know, of people who don't understand that and who feel like people of color and Black people are criminals and are, you know, are people who need to be maintained, for lack of a better word, and it's dangerous, and this is what leads to people like Terrell not being here with us anymore, not having committed a crime, you know, and he's dead, and there, nobody found anything wrong with that. And so, yeah, I think, I mean, Portland is supposed to be such a progressive place and town and whatever, but we're so progressive on everything except for racial equity, honestly. Like, I mean, people can live here their entire lives and be, you know, they can compost and they can recycle and they can be environmental advocates and animal advocates and anti-capitalists or whatever they want to be, and at the same time ask you what the need is to advocate for racial equity and equality, and what, well, we don't have a problem with that here, and whatever.
Such staunch cognitive dissonance in Portland, especially around healing and like all the things you mentioned, because this city is so centered in that. Let's heal, or let's have some growth, or there's change, be progressive. But there's such a massive, 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 almost cancer, like that undercurrently runs through this city. And this is, yeah, awareness. Yeah. Yeah.
It's just, I mean, I think that people of color just have such, we've just been so like invisible here for so long. And there's not been enough of us really to warrant importance. So it kind of just, there are issues that affect us that don't matter, and people don't have to know that it matters like you would in a larger city. With greater diversity. And people are allowed to ignore it for those reasons and to pretend like it's not happening or it's not real here specifically. So that's where we come in, I think, and we are not going to let that happen anymore.
Yeah.
We're going to make you stop ignoring it. So sorry.
And on a positive note, like, we're out here too. Mm-hmm. Like, we are. Mm-hmm. We're out here and we're doing things, and people can see that when they see these poster boards and see the representation, and that comes from like Portland's, like, people of color that have been here, that live here. I speak on this as a transplant. That's my perspective and all this, because that's a thing, like being a person of color who is a transplant here and trying to be in connection somehow to other people of color here without kind of building almost a wall around the actual community and actual people who are affected. And so to kind of bridge that gap via a visualization project that focuses on such a, like, it's like popping a zit. Just one of many.
Yeah.
Feel it now. on that note, like, is there plans for, like, follow-up meetings or discussion after this is released, or is it mostly just put it out there and see what happens?
That was kind of part of our plan. It's going to be a pretty large scale, and it's going to be, they're going to run for at least 4 weeks. So, they'll be out there, people will see them, and, we were hoping to be able to do a lot of talking about them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Once they're up, so. Mm-hmm.
What are the names of everybody?
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, so it's called the Stolen Angels PDX Billboard Project. We got that name because from the Don't Shoot exhibit that they ran in the summer. So, Stolen Angels exhibition that ran at the Williamson Night Gallery that Elisa mentioned earlier. So, we are focusing on 5 young men and working with their families. So Terrell Johnson, who is Alicia's son, we just mentioned him, and then Quanis Hayes, who was also killed this year, February, and Christopher Kalonji and Bodie Phelps, who were both killed by police last year in 2016, and Larnell Bruce, who is the only one of our Stolen Angels who wasn't murdered by police, but he was murdered by this couple who identify as white supremacists. They ran him down in cold blood in their Jeep. So that was back in August of 2016. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. And just to be clear, the Stolen Angels started with the Don't Shoot gallery.
Yeah, so they were all five of them were featured in the gallery. There were many other people featured in that exhibit, but we're just wanted to focus on very recent ones locally. So in the last 2 years, these five were killed in what we see as racially motivated police brutality and and white supremacy. So that's where we got permission to use that name from Teresa, because they were all featured in that exhibit, and as kind of, so the Billboard Project could be a sort of like continuation of the exhibit.
Okay.
In a way.
In general terms, how did the auction go?
It was very successful.
Yeah.
Very good. Yes. Yeah.
Great.
It was a great, great outcome. It was better than we even, I think, expected it to be.
Anything else you want to say?
Or? One thing I just, that really gets me from, you know, talking and listening to a lot of stuff is, unfortunately, in Portland, or probably a lot of places, but in Portland, you know, not only do you have to deal with and worry about white supremacist groups when you're black, but you also have to worry about the cops. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a funky situation to be in when you can't be safe, whether it's law-abiding, supposedly, or non-law-abiding. And, you know, it just blows my mind that you could be shot dead by police or run down by white supremacists here in this country or in this state, and it's not, you know, nobody really talks about it. Nobody ever talks about it. You know, mm-hmm. they just it happens, and we move on, mm-hmm. and that's really mm-hmm. too bad.
And I think one of the things that we don't think about enough in Portland, as we're watching the news, especially this past year, and seeing protests, hearing about Black Lives Matter rallies and movement, I think a lot of people in Portland, a lot of white people think that that's happening in a different part of the country, but those issues aren't relevant here, or they're not happening on an important enough scale in the city. And so I think part of what's really important about the Billboard Project is bringing awareness that this is happening in this liberal bubble that we call Portland. It's happening in our backyard, and it's happening to our neighbors and our friends and our loved ones. And we shouldn't be ignoring it just because we might be seeing only white when we step outside.
Mm-hmm. For KBOO Evening News, I'm Sam Bowman. In this piece, I spoke to members of Portland Equity in Action, including their lead organizer, Britton Washington, and members Olivia Stone, Courtney Santoro, and Victoria Ruffin, as well as Alicia Johnson.